What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Screaming Idiots Show. Hope everybody's had a good week and is ready to sit back, relax, and talk some fucking music. So it's good to be back in the studio, and we are joined by another very special guest, the one and only drummer of Screaming Evidence. Scotty, what the fuck's up, man?
What's happening, guys?
Just hanging out, man. What you been up to? What you been listening to, bro?
Backstreet Boys.
No shit? Dude, hey, man, I fucking love Backstreet Boys. I'll expose myself.
This motherfucking episode started off with a bang, boys. Let's go.
I'll expose myself.
Kind of random, really, man. I'm all over the place. A lot of Between the Berry to me.
Oh, really?
Just like melodic, okay. Progressive type shit.
You know? Yeah. I never pegged you for a prog metal fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not super on it. I think it's amazing how they're able to incorporate all these different things into one single little note. It's just insane.
For sure.
Kind of pisses you off as a musician, right. To be honest.
Like, why can't I do that?
Right.
No,
a lot of Ginger.
Oh, okay.
Some heavy stuff. And I don't know.
See, I'm not familiar with them. Are they
Ginger?
Yeah, female front woman, I guess.
I must be the only one here that's not familiar with it. Give me a little bit of a... I mean, what are they about, man?
It's just a metalhead chick that is out here outdoing like male front.
Ukrainian. Bad. From Ukraine.
Okay.
Like when she screams, it's hurtful.
Okay.
They're amazing.
As someone that attempts to scream, it's hurtful.
Yeah.
My pride is damaged.
Like like deathcore type scream or like
just better than mine.
That's fair. So. That's fair. No, I get that.
She's brutal.
Yeah,
a lot of a band called Dying Wish, which I've been listening to like a lot of.
Ha!
Me too, bro.
We just shouted those guys out two episodes ago.
Yeah,
was the last one.
I'm not sure. I think it was the last one.
It's the first song I ever heard from him, and then I sent it to him.
Another female fronted band. Yep. So I've been jamming them too, dude. They're pretty fucking gnarly.
Right on.
To me, it was like a deathcore kill switch with a woman or something when I heard that one single.
Right.
Their newest one. Yeah. So, Scotty, I mean, I'm curious just because, you know, you and I know each other, but I don't know a lot of your musical backstory. And you know, our listeners really like to hear different perspectives on, you know, how musicians get to where they are today. So, you know, take us back and kind of, you know, how did you discover your love for music? And then, you know, what made you decide, hey, I want to play music?
Well, I think, and another point would be, one, your love for music at first, but then, like, then it became metal music, I would assume.
Yeah.
Walk us through that.
I think it chose me, to be honest with you. I was kind of born into it already a little bit. None of my family's musicians, but they all loved concerts and they always went to concerts.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad, a long time ago, was a security guard, a bouncer, for a local band named Shovelhead in Dayton area.
Okay.
So I was like 12 years old going to these Al Rosa Villa and all kinds of different shows. Sweet. And so I got to experience that scene then. I started just kind of messing around with my friend's drums, just drum sets. I'd go to older people's houses and stuff. And a good buddy of mine actually is a UFC fighter. I've said this before many times, Matt Brown.
Okay.
Yep.
We was like 12, 13 years old, walking around spring cleanup days. I found a drum set. I took it back to his barn, put it together. He had already been a master shredder. Like, he's a hell of a guitar player. We just started jamming.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, my mom got with somebody and he was a country singer and drummer. I learned that, learned the whole basic rudiments of the 4/4, the timings. And I was like, this is really boring. I'm falling asleep. It's that metal drive, the double bass pounding in my chest and just not always just thrash all the time, but just that heavy groove that it's just what drove me and got me interested. I was like, well, I got to learn this. I got to learn that. Like Sepultura, Slayer. I'm old. I'm 41, man. So back in my head, Morbid Angel, Death, Slayer, you know, Anthrax, Pantera, shit like that.
Yeah. And all pretty well known for some heavy ass drum.
Yeah.
Driving ass beats and shit. So,
right.
No, I agree with that 100%. I guess my follow up question to that, Scotty, is like, what were, you know, your style that you have as a drummer, what were some of your biggest influences in that way? Like, whether it be a band or an individual drummer, I'm always curious of who the influences come
from. Yeah. Honestly, a lot of my influence came from Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater.
Okay. Wow.
Between him and Joey Jordison.
Yep.
Because it's just the chaotic drumming. I mean,
yes.
You are a maggot.
He is a maggot.
Yeah, I am a maggot.
We've mentioned your calf tattoo before. About, yeah. Go ahead.
Like Dave Sylvia from Korn. Like I tried to incorporate all these different styles and then the old thrash stuff. Even Lars. Shout out to Lars.
Yes.
Thank God you said that.
It's cool.
No it gets Metallica so much hate, but around. No Metallica hate allowed here.
Tyler, shut up.
I mean,
I didn't even say anything.
You were going to.
Do I agree how they've turned over the years? No. But do I respect them all heartily? Absolutely.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Because he influenced me a lot as a kid.
That's a point that I want to get to later on. Yeah. That hopefully I don't forget it. But keep you going, will. Scotty. Do your thing.
Just, I've taken everything. I've jammed with so many different people. I've met some amazing friends and musicians throughout this whole like musical journey. And it became a hassle in my life at one point where I've lost a lot of like things. I have had to sacrifice so many things in my life just to be able to keep playing drums.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find that balance. And but the passion, if you really have it there, it never goes away. So
and
never
I think
give up with it.
So I'm sure, you know, everybody that's listening to the show knows we say something is metal as fuck. I think you saying I didn't choose it, it chose me is probably the most metal as fuck thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's
thank you.
You know, like you said, I think we all have to make sacrifices to keep honing that craft. And
yeah.
if it's just a hobby, you're never gonna make those sacrifices. But when it's a true passion, you know, it makes it a little easier to prioritize that musical piece of it.
Absolutely.
I think we would all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
if you want it to happen, you can make it happen and you can schedule around it.
I yeah.
mean, life gets rough
make
as hell.
Make time for what you love, man.
Yeah.
So I want to learn a little bit about how you came to, you know, you make this transition from playing country, basic beats and stuff to wanting to get more into this metal side of it. How did you come to be in Screaming Evidence? Like what are the roots of your origin story for Screaming Evidence? And I'll let you and Tyler kind of run through this. So we had Sean on last week and he kind of told his side of it. So I'm interested to hear yours.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing really. I had been jamming with a guy that we knew, or that I knew, and he had, a Facebook or Craigslist ad or something like that. Our friend Corey and Sean showed up together. It was supposed to be somebody else, too. I think, I can't remember who else was supposed to be there, but showed up out in the middle of a blizzard. And, I mean, that's true dedication right there, just to jam. To try to like meet up and do something, because I guess you guys already had stuff going on before I even met.
Yeah, we did a lot of acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And me and Sean had kind of created this Screaming Evidence entity.
Excuse me.
We had played like a few shows, if you want to call them that.
Gatherings.
had played a few gatherings. Hell some you know, what the fuck's up, Denny's kind of stuff.
You said it before I could.
And,
yes. Yeah, that was a good one.
So we had some stuff like that, and then we, I don't know, I heard that Sean and Corey were going to go jam with these dudes, and I was like, I can't go, for whatever reason it was. Probably because I was like 15.
Like 14 or 15.
And,
I gotta finish my homework, guys.
Yes.
Dad made pork chops. Gotta stay home.
God damn it.
But oh, I lived with my grandma, and I could only put my grandma through so much. I put her through some shit. But yeah, so they go and jam with Scotty and these dudes, and then like the next day I'm talking to Sean about it and he's like, "Hey, can you play bass for us?" And I was like, "Well, what kind of time frame are we talking?" He's like, "We're jamming again in 2 weeks." Guess I'm a bass player.
Right on.
And then we go out to hang out with you and Jason. I remember that first practice cuz it was so fucking awkward.
Yeah.
It was so awkward because I had no idea who the fuck you guys were. you guys got this 15-year-old kid coming into your fucking basement.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Which, under other circumstances, sounds a little Chris Hansen.
All in the name of metal.
And then, yeah, we started just kind of throwing some songs back and forth and starting to get a feel for shit, man.
Yep. It was pretty wild. Man, I had already been with several bands before then, and I don't know, it was just pretty wild how it all clicked together. And then, yeah.
So you're saying your buddy put a Craigslist ad out there saying he was looking for a guitarist and bassist?
I believe so. And then I think Sean and Corey had actually had one out too, because you guys were looking.
No.
I don't remember exactly how it all happened.
I didn't realize you did that back in the day when you were looking for
band members.
It was
through your buddy Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
Corey is Jason's nephew.
That's right. Okay. It was some Craigslist ad. I knew.
And
I do
so
know
somehow
that.
Conversations got brought up with Cody Bowen and you guys, because
small community, we all know each other
they,
somehow.
They kind of knew each other,
right?
So then Sean and Corey go out there and do the thing, and then voila.
And well, I knew his dad before I ever met him. Well, I've probably met him, but he was
little kid.
Little, yeah, yeah. Really
we're gonna have my dad on the show, and it's tough living in the shadow sometimes, you know. I go anywhere in this town, and if you fuck with music, you know my dad. And it's like,
right.
So me coming into that was weird, because you were like, yeah, man, I know your dad and stuff. I'm like, fuck.
We're so blessed to have a great music community around here. We are.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. I love it.
No, absolutely. We've talked about it multiple times on this show. So how long have you been in Screaming Evidence now?
12 years, I do believe.
Yeah.
I think we're like,
man, yeah.
About 13.
13 years, yeah. Off and on.
Because I'm pretty sure it was 2010 when we met you guys.
That
maybe later
right.
In 2010.
That sounds about right, actually. Yep. Yep.
So you guys have obviously, and we've talked about it amongst ourselves and with Sean.
So fucking long ago, we're using years. We're spitting out years instead of, hey, it's just, you know, it's like last year, bro.
Right.
We're getting old, man.
We're old.
So that you have experienced the growth of Screaming Evidence and the changes in style and the music that you're putting together. So, you know, and everybody has kind of called you out as being the one that for years is driving heavier, 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 heavier. So you've been called out multiple times.
Who,
on
me?
That.
Nah,
and, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. So you having a big influence in those style changes, you know, what has been your favorite thing that you guys have done to enhance and change that sound over the years? Like, if you could identify one piece of the newer music that you've been writing that you're like, man, that's just, I'm so glad we're doing this now. What would it be?
We have we got Preston now.
Yeah.
That helps out tremendously. He's added a whole another different dynamic to our band. Fantastic. Our versatility, how we can just like, flex back and forth with different things and grooves and get heavy. We can get nasty if we want to, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we can just chill back down.
Yeah.
I like that. I like how we can do that.
That whisper sounded sexy.
You like
it,
that?
Yeah, it was a very seductive whisper. no, and we've talked about that too, is the versatility and the fact that there are not very many bands out there that are doing you know, what you guys are doing as far as musical style.
Yeah.
It's hard to put Screaming Evidence in a genre, and we've said that before.
Really,
and I think that really goes to show the skill level, the versatility, the degree of versatility that you guys can take on. So one other question. I know I'm rambling off a lot of questions, so you two feel free to interrupt me if you think of one before I spit my next one out. But I asked Sean this question, and I'm curious about yours too. And it's, you know, what was your favorite Screaming Evidence moment, be it a live show or putting a song together, something like that? And what was your most forgettable, least favorite Screaming Evidence memory or moment?
Man, that's hard. We've played.
You guys ready for story time?
We've had some amazing shows. Like, really, just every one of them's good. Like, to me, no matter how bad we might have messed up or how bad we thought in ourselves we didn't play good, they're always good to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's hard. we've had some played in some really crazy places, really sketchy places.
Yeah.
In front of like two people. And
hell yeah.
Played at a skating rink. And, I mean.
Here in town?
Yeah.
Played the old skating rink.
We played
rink,
at the
you?
Skating rink for a bunch of kids, man. And I,
what
I
the
told
fuck's
them,
up, Rollerhaven?
Exactly. And I told them, I was like, do you guys realize the kind of music that we play? And they were like, yeah, your dad told us all about it.
Oh, fuck. These guys are great.
And look, he was like, well, they're offering to pay you, son. Go play the damn show.
Damn show, man.
Open with like a Cannibal Corpse song. Dying Fetus or something.
See, we start playing.
I'm sure some metalheads were created that day.
Yeah. Well, we for sure. I've had a for couple sure. of kids that came up to me and was like at some of our shows and were like, dude, I seen you at the skating rink. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, that's not good.
You remember that? We scarred you that bad? You yeah. guys were awesome, man.
That's great.
By now, they're old enough to be, you know, alcoholics. And they're like, yeah.
Freebird. There are those guys now. Oh,
I think there's been several moments, honestly. It's hard for me to pinpoint that down because there's been several moments where we're, like, jamming at a show and everything is just clicking so good. Yeah. And we're grooving. We're all feeling it. When you look at everybody and everybody's enjoying it and they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
There's no feeling like it in the world, man. Right. No
what's,
feeling
what's
like
the
it.
Time at right. the top at the top of your mind? What is a recent example of that?
Our show a couple weeks ago or last week.
Yeah,
that was a good time, man. Like we
it was
just
a damn good
we
time.
Killed it. Like
I think we played very well.
I feel like
and
every time we've played there, we get a decent stage sound.
Yeah,
because it's set up as a practice spot.
Yeah.
So, like, everything they have set up out there is primarily for the stage. And so I was able to hear everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell of a lot better than the last one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, go ahead, Scotty.
Oh, my bad. That's one thing I can think of recent, but there's been many more, obviously.
I know there's some other shows that peek out to you. I mean, how'd you feel about Barnyard last year?
Barnyard was good.
Yeah.
I thought we played really well. So that was another one of the moments, yeah.
I mean, we really got an good, encore, actually. Didn't we?
Yeah, we crushed it.
Something had to be going right.
So, you know, what's your... I got to put you on the spot. And like, what is your most embarrassing moment you've ever had personally at a live show? Like, where you just... You fumbled the bag or fucking... I mean,
fuck, I know.
Tyler's
mine.
Laughing because I feel I like know Tyler knows something.
I've done a few things. Oh, man. Lost sticks. Missed the entire beat.
That's in relation to my fucking... my worst experience.
Broke a snare right before the show.
Oh, shit.
Broke a drum stool once.
Oh, fuck.
While you were playing?
Yeah.
Did you fall off
that,
of
that
it?
That happened... I don't think that was with us, but that's happened to me before.
Did you fall off?
Yeah. Far off the back of it. But I fell off the wagon. And was... oh, shit. It was bad. It was all bad.
Damn.
He said it was bad. Hey. It was all bad.
Luckily, another drummer. That
drumming
was
is not for the faint of heart.
No.
Okay.
So is there one specific moment like that was like, this is embarrassing, that like truly peaks out at you?
What was the worst show you can think of?
Man. Be it Screaming Evidence or not.
Hmm.
Really damn, making you
all right. I'll give you mine.
Where we start off like with a
I'll give
hypocrisy
you mine.
And fucked it all up. And then we kicked right back in. Perfect like, recovery.
There was a song that we did that, or a show that we did that.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Alvaro Sevilla.
Oh, man. Was that when we opened for OTAP?
Yeah. It came off about four measures too late and back.
Whoops.
Sean and the great thing about it was no one knew that we fucked up.
No, that was part of the show.
Because they had never heard the song before. So that's just how we wrote it.
Yeah.
So it's great when you
it's great.
Sometimes being unknown is great.
Yeah. So That was rough.
That was really rough.
Because we did not fit in. we played and we were the softest fucking band on the bill.
We were.
Were people digging it though?
Yeah.
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 There was quite a few people there too.
There was like
200 or 300 people there easily.
I'd say there was about 200 people in the building when we played. And we had a pretty good response considering we really didn't have very many fans there. We sold a lot of tickets.
Stage, yeah. Right?
Right.
That's a good response in my book.
Dude, so I want to give mine because it's fantastic. So we were playing at the Basement in Columbus. And we get all loaded up and we go for our final walkthrough. And we're like, do we have everything? Everyone answered yes, including me. And it turned out that we were wrong. All right. So we get up there and we're ahead of Sean by like an hour. So we're already up there and we realize that we forgot the cord bag.
Which is pretty important.
Yeah, so it's got all your cords in it, your pedals, and all the stuff that you kind of need to play the style of music we play. So we forget that. And we call Sean, we're like, hey, how far from town are you? He's like, probably 15 minutes. Okay, can you turn back around, get the cord bag? We're obviously going to need it. Cool, everything's kosher, right? But it's not.
but it's not.
Because Sean gets to about Grove City and blows a tire.
So he's probably, what, 25 minutes from the venue? 30 minutes from
about
the venue?
15, 20 minutes away.
Yeah, he went too far.
And he's like, I'm going to go ahead and throw on the spare. I'll be there. We're all good. But we weren't all good.
It just gets worse.
Sean breaks the key for the
spare
lock.
Yeah.
Yep. And so now he can't replace the tire. They have to call his girlfriend's dad to come up, and we're like, well, we go on in like 30 minutes. What are we gonna do? And so then we start trying to talk to other bands to try to swap spots in the lineup because we want to give Sean more time to be able to make it. And no one's willing to do it. It's like, fuck. Okay. So push comes to shove. We said, fuck it. We're going to get up on the stage and we're going to play something. We're just not going to have a vocalist. But we're going to jam.
Were you guitarist or bassist?
I was
at
a guitarist at the time. Yep.
Okay.
Cody and we had bass for us, Cody Bowen playing bass.
Oh, wait, so it was a four-piece at this time?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we just start fucking jamming, but I didn't have my pedal. All I had was a 3-foot cord, so I had to stand like 2 feet away from the guitar cab. And we had a guy there that would come to like every band practice, so he knew all the changes. And so he sat back there on the amp switching the channel for me while we were playing.
Oh, God.
And he timed it perfectly every time. Yeah. He had it down.
It was great.
It was so amazing. I was like, fuck yes. But I kept like jerking a little bit and I'm like standing over here back by the fucking thing. But we had the fucking crowd.
We did.
Bobbing, dude.
No vocals.
Just me on the guitar. And I think that's the show where Cody also broke a bass string. So midway through, he breaks the top string, which is the only string he played. And so his solution was, I'm going to play everything I normally play.
But on the second string.
Yes.
Which doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Holy shit.
But he was like, fuck it. He pulls the bass string. Because when a bass string breaks, it doesn't like snap. It just like comes unwound. And he like grabs it and like puts it in his teeth. He starts playing on the second string.
What a shit show.
Holy hell.
Oh, God. Wow.
But everybody was bobbing, bro.
So did Sean ever end up making it?
He made it.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Oh, man. That's when we first wrote End of Me.
Yes.
So we had the whole crowd going with that one.
Oh, yeah, man.
Did anybody get on the mic and be like, look, we're missing our vocals?
Yeah, we explained it.
When we got up there, I was like, look, our singer can't make it. He has an emergency situation, but the show must go on. So we're going to play some shit just without vocals. And if you guys like it,
potentially
cool.
Without a bass.
If not, we came here to play, so we're going to play.
And that's what I got to say about most of it. Like, no matter what happens, we make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, if we're already in the moment of the show and just something happens, like, we still make it happen. Like, I had to watch my son one time because he begged me to come over one weekend when I was living in Chillicothe. And we had a show in Columbus. They went and rocked out acoustic without me.
Oh, no way.
Like, man,
we had a show booked as a three-piece.
Thank you. I love you all for keeping it going. Even though I can't make it. Like,
yeah.
Priorities took over.
Right. That's how we've always been, man. But we had an opportunity to play. And so we went ahead and fucking did it. We were opening for a band that was touring through the area from Nashville, I believe. I do not remember their name.
I don't remember.
I stayed in touch with them for a while.
Hell yeah.
Because we were plan on going down there to play with them.
That's where we need to go. That's when we need to make some money down there. I got a friend who went down there.
He said, I got a guy.
Yeah, I do.
We're going to make it happen.
He's playing strips, like all the way down the strip, making bank.
So, Scotty, what are you most excited for with Screaming Evidence moving forward? Like, I don't necessarily mean a goal, but like something you're working on or you guys are looking forward to, you know, give me that one big thing that you're like, man, I can't wait for this.
Honestly, recording.
Yeah.
We're getting recording equipment now and I'm ready to put some music out.
Yeah. Put some new shit out.
Like independent feeling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And you guys got some new shit that rips.
Yeah.
So
thanks, man.
Oh, dude. We were telling Sean last week that new song, the newest, I think it's the newest one.
The one we screwed around with the one day when
I was here, Derek was here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right at the beginning. That riff is in my head rent free, bro. Right. Like, I just, I don't know. I've told him and Sean both, I think it's arguably the best riff that you guys have ever written.
Sean wrote it all.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. So, yeah, I mean, you guys got some exciting shit coming up. So,
absolutely.
Tyler, give me your most embarrassing Scotty story. Like, your.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're good. I'm sure there's
the funniest Scottyism ever.
Hold on. I feel like you're asking for two separate things here. Because I can think of an embarrassing Scotty situation, but I can also think of like a funny Scottyism kind of thing.
Give me a Scottyism. So,
oh, man.
Scotty.
Probably Scotty the day we were in here, me and Preston and Scotty. Sean couldn't make it over, and we're trying to like write a song together.
Preston, obviously.
I hope this comes across funny to the listeners as funny as it was to us at the time.
So we start throwing parts together and we get to a section where we're all like, man, maybe we can get a little something of this or do something like this or whatever. And we're kind of going back and forth with some ideas. And then we start like really linking up we really can do that and blah blah blah, and then Scotty's like, it's like a breakdown, man.
Which is so we were talking about,
like, yeah, we could really make it fucking hop here, and we could, God, we could just get to some girthy ass chords and yeah, it's like a breakdown. And he was so excited about like coining the term. And it was like, yeah,
We do plenty of those, Scotty.
It's a breakdown, bro.
And his eyes were so fucking wide, dude.
It was like a starving child that just received bread.
Just feed me ribs, he's man. Like, just feed me ribs.
Just feed me ribs. That's what you fuckers were talking about before the show, and you're like, it's like a breakdown. I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, because it's like, we write breakdowns all the time, and it, like, for some reason, out of nowhere, it was such a giant new concept to Scotty.
Look at this new thing I have discovered.
Breakdown.
Yeah.
I have discovered fire.
Like a breakdown. Poor Scotty.
Is it funny? But
it's, okay, because we all do some dumb shit in this good. In this band room. Preston's got some good ones, too. I'm sure y'all got some of me, but we ain't talking about those. So fuck you.
That's my brother. I think he's immune. He's a host. Yeah.
But no, the most embarrassing Scotty situation, I think, was the time we stopped letting him book shows. We used to do some really dumb shit in the name of jamming, bro. I've said that before on this show, and we have put ourselves in some really fucked up scenarios.
I only did that for one reason. That was to help out a buddy, and because the area I was living at the time, the whole music scene down there, I was trying to, you know, trying to network out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, you know, these people need to hear what we got.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing what kind of a shit show it would have turned out to be.
Oh, I need some fucking context on this.
Yeah, so walk us through this.
So look, Scotty...
I've heard bits and pieces of this before, but Scotty, never the...
Yeah, Scotty comes to me and Sean and says, hey, we got offered to play at this little festival. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it's supposed
Bainbridge,
to be a
right?
good time. Yep.
Yeah, I'll pass it. Like, knock them stiff.
Fall Festival of the Leaves?
No. This
they
was...
probably wished it was.
This was nothing like that, sir.
This, oh God!
But like Scotty didn't know, you know.
Scotty
like,
doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty didn't know what he had signed us up for. He just took at face value what the first person told him.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing, so I can't really knock you for it. But like, because I've booked us some weird shit too, skating rink.
In the name of music, and man.
Well, we got paid for it, so it was cool. So we're heading out there, and it ends up being absolutely in the middle of fucking nowhere. GPS fails because there's no service. We can't get a hold of anybody to, like, figure out directions to this place. Turns out it's at somebody's property out literally in bumfucked Egypt. And
asshole like me had my brights on him the whole time, didn't realize it.
And I got Sean in
Scotty
the car with
didn't
me.
Know.
Yeah, I got Sean in the car with me, and Scotty's driving separately. And Scotty finally finds a way to get us there. Oh, yes, Scotty's our hero. And then we pull in, and I was like, Scotty.
This is sketchy, bro. Where are we at?
I've seen Wrong Turn, bro. I don't feel good about this. And we pull up to this fucking janky ass barn out in the middle of a field, and there's just people scattered everywhere. And it's like, cool, man. There's a lot of people here. This should be fun. It's a big party. We park our cars, and this dude had to be fucked up on meth or something, just comes and just flops onto Scotty's hood. And me and Sean are parked behind Scotty, and we're like, what the fuck
is going on?
This is as soon as you pulled up?
As soon as we parked. And Sean and I are looking at each other like, do we need to, like, get out and help? Do we need to go beat somebody's ass? And Scotty just stays in his car for a minute. And this dude's like, you know, freaking out and shit.
That's why I let it go. I was like, yeah, he's fucked up. Hold on.
What time did you guys pull up to this?
Oh, dude, it was late as fuck, too.
It was like 11:30.
Oh,
we didn't
Jesus.
Go on until like 12:30, some shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
And so then we start loading our shit in, and it's a barn with a dirt floor and some weird kind of stage thing set up out in the middle of it. And sure as fuck, we set our shit up and we're like, I guess we're going to play. And half of the people there seemed like they were on some hard shit.
There was a mixture shrooms, LSD.
Oh, Jesus.
It was.
Yeah, it was something else. Dude running around in his underwear. Somebody locking himself in a port-a-john.
Yeah.
Beating it so hard he about knocked it over. Because he locked himself in the
What the fuck was the point of this festival? What was the fucking theme? Drugs?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
I guess, man. Fuck.
But the other music.
Woodstock 99.
Look, the other music that's playing is like this punk, folk, bluegrass kind of shit. And it was weird.
Yeah. They have a whole
like imagine
of, and you guys probably shit. Opened with Attention Freak and these people were like
they told us we had to turn down, didn't they?
Yeah
they were like the neighbors are going to be pissed because you can hear this for a mile down the road, and we're right. Like,
I forgot about that.
You have neighbors? Because I don't see shit,
right?
And yeah, so they made us fucking turn down. We got to play a couple more songs. Then they kind of just told us we had to stop because we were too loud.
On top of that, it was pouring down fucking rain.
It was raining outside, wasn't it?
But yeah.
Not the place for screaming evidence is what I'm gathering.
Not at all. It was like, I felt like I wanted to do a favor for somebody, plus branch our name out.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up like backfiring and just...
So now you are no longer allowed to book shows.
Look, no, that was something.
I've booked a couple after that. So.
Yeah, he has. We gave him kind of some unfair grief about it in the short term after the show because we were not happy about it.
No, that was terrible.
But
the consequences of my own actions. Poor Scotty. I'm just trying to help.
On my deathbed, I will think of the way this man flopped his body onto the hood of Scotty's car and just started flopping like a fucking dead fish. I was like, God damn.
So how were the crowd reactions while you guys were playing?
I mean, the people that I knew.
Okay.
And a few other people. I mean, you can see. Yeah. But everybody was just in their own world, dude. Like. Everywhere, scattered everywhere, puking everywhere. It was
naked.
Unreal.
Underwear. Yeah. Locking themselves in Porta Johns.
Did you play any breakdowns?
I remember the drive home. I was like, it was just dead silent in my car on the way home. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? I just remember thinking that to myself.
What did I do?
What the fuck was that?
Dude, it was terrible. Just
and it probably wasn't until what, 1:30, 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, it was around
when
2
you were
in
heading
the morning.
Home?
Yeah.
So bad, man.
I will quickly share my most embarrassing moment
as being a
part of Screaming Evidence.
Please do. We never heard your shit.
So you guys remember it. You guys remember it as soon as I start mentioning it. So
yeah, they're going to fact check your ass if you leave shit out.
I had been with the band maybe, I don't even want to put a number on it. We probably played five shows before this or something. So the band rules, I didn't understand, like, while you're playing. Right? Didn't understand. I'm just fucking playing to the songs, having a good time. Well,
I'm just doing my part, man. Yeah, I'm just playing a guitar.
Just being, and then ended up just being a nice guy, ended up being the fucking bad guy, I guess. But so Scotty has a problem with losing his drumsticks when he plays. He goes wild, they flip up, they knock you out, he loses them.
I thought daggered.
He while he's playing with one other arm, he'll reach for his other drumsticks trying to find them. Well, we're at this show out in Newark, Ohio, and I can't remember if this was a big gathering that night or not, or if it was a smaller show that night, but we're playing, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the
Muddy
song
Creek.
Best of Me. Yeah, it was the venue Muddy Creek Saloon. And we were playing the song that we have called Best of Me. And there's only one guitar on this song. And I'm the guy that's playing guitar. Sean's singing. And there was a part where Scotty had dropped his drumstick. And, of course, when you're on stage, you hear the pause and whatever drums that he's trying to hit. You don't hear it at all. when I turn around and I see him like scrambling for his drumstick, well, forgetting that I'm the only guitar on this song, I fucking reached down and
here, let me help.
I reached down to pick up his drumstick because my guy Scotty behind me needs his fucking drumstick, man.
Bro, I appreciate the fuck out of
him. He needs his damn drumstick.
Before you know it, all you hear is Sean singing and Tyler going, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, bro, we'll get into how mad at me they were after, but.
Oh, man.
So I turn around and like I thought it was going to be a quick pick it up, like toss it back to him. And unfortunately, that's not the case when you got a guitar hanging around your neck and whatever. So I'm like scrambling, trying to pick it up, like just playing the notes with my fingers, not picking at the guitar. And it felt like an eternity, but it was probably 5 or 6 seconds, maybe 10 seconds later. Scotty, like, gets a drumstick already, and I'm just like, I hold this drumstick. So I just like toss it back there at him. And
because you sat there for a second trying to get him to take it.
Yeah, that's already. Oh, he's already drunk.
Scotty,
he's like looking at me,
the gentle soul that he is.
Yeah.
Scotty, being such a kind individual, just looks over at me and starts smiling.
But he was looking at me.
You were like, take it. Yeah. He's like, but I got one.
But he looked at me when I'm trying to give it to him, like, no. No, like the world was fucking ending. Yeah. And right then I knew I made a fucking mistake. Right then. And then after the show, of course, Sean's the most soft-spoken guy in the band. Well, after the show, he was not. He was like, I can't remember the exact thing he said, but it was along the lines of, what the fuck were you doing? I'm like, I'm just trying to get a drumstick for him, man. And then that's where Tyler had came in. He's like, rule number one of playing live, you never fucking stop playing. I felt like a dumbass.
Hey, man.
Whole, much love, though.
You got my back, bro.
Preston apparently lacks what we call situational awareness.
Yes, I do. I do.
That goes into us giving some advice
to
newer bands. Look, number one rule of playing live. Don't fucking stop playing.
Keep fucking playing.
Keep playing.
I felt like a dumbass for like the whole next week. I thought these guys were going to be mad at me forever.
Look, everyone knows what to do for themselves if something fucks up, all right?
Yep.
Let them go through their process. You keep playing.
that's the number one thing is to learn is recovery. You got to know how to recover and come back in time.
Yeah. And it's harder than you think, man. Yeah. Sometimes it's a lot harder than you think.
Well, you're trying to align four or five people
together.
You know, depending on how many people
that are not paying attention to each other, really.
That all have to, like, you know, shit's kind of getting haywire. Y'all got to kind of, like, lock eyes. And... what are you doing?
Where are
you going?
So yeah, that is
guys
my
like you got to be quicker than
most
that.
Embarrassing moment.
So Scotty, you know, we care a great deal on this show and talk a lot about and shout out a lot of different people, you know, about local music and up and coming bands, and you know, not just local to here, but local anywhere. So if you could give your younger self any advice when it comes to being in a band, being a musician, you know, what would that advice be? And you know, this is for all of those local bands that are listening right now.
Practice.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't get discouraged and just say, fuck it. I can't do it. Or this ain't for me. Just keep going.
Yeah, man.
And practice.
Oh, yeah.
I'll preach it enough. I sound like a hypocrite because I have been lacking very bad on practicing. But I've been so busy with life things as well. We all have. But just practice.
It's hard for you, though, too, because you can't just, like, open up a case and grab a drum set.
Right. I mean, I have the electric kit in my house.
Right.
I practice on those a little bit. But even between that, I'm busy doing so many other things. And
well, and you're married. You got kids. You got work. It's, you know, life happens, man. Right. We've said it so many times before. You know, you guys aren't doing this for a living. So it's... You know, as much as you would like to
like
or
to.
Whatnot, you're
realistically
you're not to that point right now.
If we did.
What's that?
Be a lot cooler if
we
did.
I think that's where a lot of my, but I've learned to like just set back and chill out, because I realize realistically we're all busy. We all got families. Sure. It's not our main priority. It's not what put foods on our, you know, it's not what pays our bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope, I agree.
So if something huge was to ever happen later on in life, sure, fuck yeah. And we're able to actually do it, and so it's like a secure thing. But the music world is a fucking raw dog.
Yeah.
Fuck you, cutthroat. In the ass world. Like, yeah. So that'd be
for
rough.
Sure. Cutthroat as fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, what Tyler, what's your statistic? You said, you know, the 90 or 99% of bands don't do it for a living. You know, it's a very small percentage of bands that you see just make music and tour for a living, you know, and you guys are in that 90% that don't.
Well, so. we've talked about it so many times off the record and in our own conversations, but it's still so crazy to me that these bands that we know and we love and listen to almost every day, we try to, there may be a portion of it that we think, man, they're living the dream, they're doing this, and it's like, these dudes are literally just traveling around in the in a van.
Yeah.
Don't have however much money to their name, and
right.
They're just struggling just to play live shows.
Yep.
Like a band, say a Polaris or we've mentioned them so many times on this show, but it feels
they're the
like,
best.
Yeah, but it also feels like a band that just hasn't broke through like some others, and it confuses us. But there's so many bands out there that on the surface you would think that, man, these guys are rocking and rolling, they got things going on, and it's like, I don't
they're know. Probably just broke dudes in a van. Right. I mean, playing great music.
Yeah.
You know, all of those bands that are out on the road doing this for a living, mm-hmm. whether they're making a lot of money or not, started out like you guys. I mean, everybody was a garage band at once,
absolutely.
You know, or a local band at once. And it's kind of cool to think, wow, we're here now. Where can we be in 10 years? Where can we, you know,
right.
it's so.
Right.
I think you guys got a pretty damn bright future ahead of you. You keep Thanks, putting man. In the time and the work that you've been doing to write great new music. I think you guys will go a long way so to achieving those goals. So, well, I want to jump into something a little more opinionated and get some of Scotty's thoughts on a couple things and all of our thoughts on a couple things. And I didn't mention this one to you, so I'm going to hit you kind of off the rip with this, and you can take your time because I want you to be thoughtful. If you could only listen to 3 to 5, preferably 5, albums for the rest of your life, you know, hey, these are my top 5 favorite albums ever, and this is if I only get 5 records to listen to for the rest of my life, these are the 5. What would those 5 be? And if you need to think about it, I can go ahead and give mine. You want to think about it? Or you got some?
I'm sure there's a couple that come to mind.
Head Up Along the Way and Inhibitions.
Now, yeah.
Part 1. It's 2 of them.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Albums. As I Lay Dying, Frail Words. I can't remember the name of the album, but I'm terrible with names. Like
you and Tyler both. It's all good.
when me and Kyler are the complete opposite, where it's like we have to remember.
I have to remember.
Pretty much. Band members' names and...
Every As I Lay Dying album. I mean, I'm on board with any of them.
Yeah.
Oh, so you like... your favorite is the earliest, Frail Worlds Collapse.
That one and the second with the moon.
Shadows Are Security. Yep. I can't disagree with you there. That's one hell of an album.
Despite the craziness that guy has been through.
Mm-hmm.
Tim.
I mean, everybody gives him hell still, but
yeah,
they still wrote beautiful fucking music, man.
Yeah. So
I can't think of any more at the moment, but I'm sure there's many more.
We'll keep thinking on
I'll
it.
I'll rattle off some of mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is just kind of going back to, some of this is going back to my roots. Some of this is where I'm at currently, but Metallica's Ride the Lightning.
All right.
That was just one of the first real metal albums that I'm like, this is now my whole personality. Like, it was just, that album is just brilliant. Jar of Flies, Alice in Chains.
Okay.
You know, a mostly acoustic record that has some of the best songs ever written on it.
Yeah.
I mean, Nutshell is the best song ever written, and it's on that
album.
So
that song hits.
Yeah. Oh, dude. So, Jar of Flies. The Poison, Bullet for My Valentine, that was their first record. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the album that propelled me into the metalcore world. You know, that's all the way back in 2005, man. And that album still today to me is a no skip. I've been jamming it all past 2 weeks. I've been hooked on Bullet the past couple weeks.
Right on.
The Flood of Mice and Men.
Ooh.
So ooh, that was their second album.
Okay.
I mean, Austin Carlisle, their vocalist, had such an iconic scream, and that whole album, you know, those are Ohio dudes, and they're singing some shit about Ohio and that, and it's just a fucking incredible album. And probably, you know, I know I said five, but I guess I'm going to cheat and give six, because Shadows Are Security is one, As I Lay Dying.
Right.
Probably one of, if not the most influential metalcore album of all time.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
And then Polaris is The Mortal Coil.
Okay. Did you say The Death of Me?
No, I said The Mortal Coil. The Mortal Coil is better, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Okay. If I had to pick between the two, I would pick The Mortal Coil. Just one of the best metal records ever put together. I mean, gotcha. It's got everything you could imagine. It also has my favorite Polaris song on it, which is Consume. So
yeah, the song's nasty.
It goes hard as fuck. So there's some line. What about you, Preston?
Oh yeah.
So I'm slightly unprepared because the original idea of this, I think we all went our separate ways.
There's no wrong answers here.
Yeah. So two albums off the rip for me. One would be The Mortal Coil by Polaris. When I found that album, it did something for me. Just like maybe earlier on, All That Remains had did back in the day, where it was like, I felt I jumped into something.
It brought you into a new space.
Yeah, it was like something new, but familiar. And I would also say The Death of Me. Those two albums I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could pick one from the other. So if you want to count those as one, great. If not, that's two albums. Speaking of All That Remains, it would
probably overcome.
Let me verify. Let me double check.
Overcome or The Fall of Ideals.
Ooh.
I mean, again, you could go two there because those are,
I'm going to go Overcome
by
All That Remains over The Fall of Ideals. And for We Are Many is close.
Yeah, that was another great record, too.
Close. So that's three that I can think of off the top of my head.
You mentioned one before the show that could easily go in mine, too, and that was Candlebox's self-titled.
Yeah. If I had to pick five albums, though, like, that was all I could listen to, I don't know if
that one would be
on it. Damn it. Come back to me.
Tyler, come back to me. What you got? And Tyler's got a good topic for us after this, too. So go ahead with your... He's delving into his discography right now. A little foreshadowing there. Take your time.
Yeah.
So I'm not prepared for this, and I'm kind of diving through
some of my tops as well.
It is a little easier for me, though, just because the shit's tattooed on my arm. So that's kind of cool. So I would say one of my all-time favorite bands is Thrice.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's so hard to pick a favorite album. But I would say my favorite album from them would have to be The Artist in the Ambulance.
Not Beggars?
The only one I like.
Beggars is, like I said, it's tough, man.
Beggars is
but,
my favorite.
Man, that album. Oh, God, it's so
good,
amazing.
Good album.
I figured you would say
super good album.
White Pony, Deftones.
Oh, so Deftones is going to be in there, but I would say Diamond Eyes, because Diamond Eyes is what I first listened to that got me into them. That was what heavily influenced me as a bassist when I first started playing with these guys.
Heavy.
That was kind of
influence.
Some of the heavier stuff that I enjoyed listening to on a regular basis. I did listen to heavier stuff. Like I had said before, Scotty and them was introducing me to like Bullet for My Valentine and Killswitch Engage and stuff. But anyway, so Deftones, Thrice, and then Brand New.
Hopefully the listeners listen to Brand New.
Let me see here. Make sure I get this right. The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that yet, personally. I have to check that out.
Good stuff.
I don't know if you would like it. I'm going to be honest. But I think you can find elements in there that you can appreciate.
Yeah.
I always do. Songwriting is just amazing. And the layers, like, I've been listening to that album for every bit of, like, 12 years. And I still listen to it and get to experience it in a different way here and there, just because I'll pick something else out and the way it kind of interacted with something else going on in the song or whatever, and it'll just pique my interest about it again.
Mm-hmm.
Was a very influential album to me as a guitarist because of the, like, their lead guitarist doesn't really play leads as you hear in other bands where it's all these whittly diddlies and solos and shit like that. He's playing these constant, like, cadences and stuff behind everything and just giving it another layer and mm-hmm. additional depth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's phenomenal. I love it.
He hasn't named one Greyhaven or Norma
Jean. I'm getting there, bro. I'm getting there. Gosh.
Remember, if you had five albums,
that was three, right?
Yeah, that's three.
I think
I have my other two.
Greyhaven. What was the name of that album?
Terrible with names.
Yes. Empty Black.
Empty Black, yep.
So their newest album is really good too, but I have to keep going back to Empty Black because, goddamn, that album. Again, songwriting, their sound, their style. I fucking love everything about
it. And I think you can relate to, like, what Polaris maybe had done for me and Kyler, where it felt like it shot us into this new dimension of something.
Yeah. Right.
Did that album do that for you as well?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And from there, that's when I started getting into, like, some of the other, like, hardcore bands. So that's...
Mm-hmm.
Right before I met you guys and started hanging out with you guys and getting some of that metalcore, mm-hmm. this is the stuff I was diving into with Greyhaven and starting to find, like, Norma Jean and some of these other bands like that. But
one more.
Better make it count.
One more.
It's probably tattooed on you, right?
Come back to me.
Come back to me.
Did you list all five?
Bro, I cheated and listed six.
I'm going to count both Polaris albums as one. So I have two more, which would leave me with another one after that. We've talked about this album ad nauseum on this episode, but Dark Divine by Like Moths to Flames. That album is fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
If I had five albums to listen to the rest of my life, it is definitely in that wheelhouse.
God, that's such a good record.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of their albums, but a lot of, like, to go back to our very first question, I've been listening to Currents and Landmarks a lot too.
And Landmarks
week,
too.
Nah, yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks is the
new
album.
Currents album.
May 5th.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're fucking sick.
Well, by the time people are listening to this, if you're listening on Patreon, the new Currents album will be out. So
yep.
Right on.
And if you are listening on Patreon, I hope you enjoy your binge session. So thanks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude, Currents fucking rips, man.
I've seen them, Miss May I, and Landmarks up in Cleveland.
Oh, Landmarks.
That would be a hell of a show, bro.
They exploded that place.
That would be a hell of a show.
It was amazing.
I wish I was able to see Miss May I. Now, I saw Miss May I with August Burns Red, Fit for a King, and Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
And...
seen them too.
Yeah, dude. I'm not even like a gigantic ABR fan, but they put on such a good live show, they're some of the coolest fuck. Because I met the whole band we were at the Newport.
Yeah.
And they all just come out and fucking hang out, you know, take pictures with everybody. They're some of the coolest dudes ever. Levi Benton, the front man from Miss May I, is the coolest dude in music I've ever met, period, ever.
I think they're from Ohio, actually.
Yes. Troy. Yeah, from Troy. Such a cool.
Or at least a portion
dude.
Of them are.
No, they all are.
Okay.
Yeah, they all are.
The drummer owns a bar, or he's a bartender.
No way.
Too, yeah. I think he owns a bar.
That's
yeah.
cool.
No, they're fucking awesome, dude. The guys from Fit for a King are too. They're technically a Christian metalcore band. But super cool dudes.
Absolutely.
Tyler, did you have something?
I left that. I knew they'd come to me later.
Yeah.
I suck, man. Currents put them on the spot like that.
Yeah, it feels like in that low-tuned, detuned shit that's out, it feels like they do something different. Maybe just write better songs or something, but we all jam Currents. We love, and you've seen them live. You said they're fucking incredible.
They're nasty. They're nasty.
I thought a riot was going to occur. Because we were at Scully's, and when they, I never remember the song, but it's,
I know what you're talking about. Shit.
Lost in the Wave. You can
walk. I never said I could walk on water.
Yep. I know what you're talking about. Hold on, I'll tell you.
Yeah, what is the name of that
it's
song?
It's Despair, like one of
their,
it?
No, but it's one of their most popular songs.
Lost in the Wave.
Into Despair.
I thought it was Into Despair.
So they play this song, and I thought the entire place was going to burst into flame.
Yeah.
And just everyone was going to rush out and just blow up the city.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I want in on this.
Yeah. Yeah, that pit would be deadly.
It was rough, man.
Yeah.
Like,
did
I'm
it have a
sure...
big tall redhead in it that just threw people everywhere? Woo! I thought that guy was going to kill me that night in Cleveland.
Oh, he was awesome. Man, that dude was amazing.
That big jack motherfucker in the pit down in Kentucky at the Norma Jean show trying to fight everybody.
Yeah. Trying to fight everybody.
Oh, God. The people you see in that shit.
Yeah. You meet some real characters throughout this music journey.
But it's so cool to see because other than people wanting to start fights, like,
I was gonna say, other than people wanting to
watching,
fight.
Especially like if you're in or around the pit, it's so cool to see these people just absolutely lost in music. Absolutely. Nothing else around them fucking matters.
Yep.
The guys that spin and do their fucking kicks, and it's what they love to do. It's fucking awesome, man.
Dude, I love getting into a mosh pit.
It's fun. It is a hell of a release.
I'm too old, can't afford it anymore.
I'm just too big of a puss to do it anymore.
You get in there, and it's just all of you have the same shit going on, and you just want a way to vent all of this shit that you're, like, bottling up. And, hey...
Here's
I'll push
a place
you,
for it.
You can push me, like, we're going to release all of this aggression and shit, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
Because for 99% of the people in there, they're cool about it. It's just pushing, you're shoving, you're fucking spinning in a circle, going ape shit, death wall, whatever the fuck is going on. But you're cool about it. But then you do have the fucking assholes like you talked about at the Norma
Jean
show.
Whether they get too drunk or they're just egomaniacs, whatever it is.
Yeah,
that dude was definitely an egomaniac.
Yeah.
He's probably on roids. And it's like you're ruining the show for everyone else.
Yeah. It was.
Well, and at first he was, we don't really need to tell the whole story, but at first it was like he was being cool with everybody else around him. It was just the one dude that maybe had said something to him or what. Well, next thing you know, he wanted to fight everybody. So it was just...
Well, that one dude actually threw a punch at him.
Yeah, but
so I'm pretty sure that dude was starting to fight, and then once a dude in red got pissed, then he started trying to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to, like, jam. Like, I'm just trying to listen to music. So, but anyway, so...
We still got some albums.
Tyler, you had...
Yeah, so I'd have to say Tosh Sultana, Flow State.
Okay.
My
last one, and I think we've mentioned this band. We've mentioned this band on this show, but if I wanted to switch it up a bit, it would be Feel Something by Movements.
Mm.
That fucking whole album is unreal.
What do you guys think about The Plot and You?
I like them. They're good.
I don't have a great point of reference on them, man, to be real honest with you. I've never really dove into them. I mean, I've heard a couple songs.
Their older stuff was really heavy. But.
I just don't have a great point of reference on them, so I can't speak on that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't say they're one of my favorites, but I've listened to them for quite some time and enjoy them. That front man, he's talented.
He is
very talented.
He gets some high notes like no other.
Yep.
He goes off on his like little solo thing.
Yeah, he does a solo thing as well.
He's got some really good
Landon
songs.
Landon Tours? I think
it's Towers?
Tours? Yeah, something like that.
Matt Heffy.
Right.
tomato, you know, whatever.
So Tyler had a cool-ass fucking topic before the show, Scotty, and I think we should run through it real quick. And it was, hopefully I phrased this correctly, if you had to pick one band's discography to just go through, like, what is your favorite band to just rip through their whole discography?
Minimum three albums?
Yeah, I would say like, minimum three albums.
Like discography, like the...
Like all their albums, their material. All their EPs.
All their material.
Man.
It's hard, ain't it?
Probably, and it's going to sound crazy. You ever heard of Machine Head?
Oh, yeah.
Probably Machine Head.
Really? They That's just, old school, man.
I respect that dude tremendously.
Like, yeah.
He is the power horse of that band.
Like, that is not what I expected you to say.
No.
I was legit waiting on you to go Slipknot or Pantera or something like
that. Yeah, well, yeah, of course Pantera. But I've studied Pantera since I was 10 years old. Yeah. So I already know pretty much everything about them, too, already. But.
Yeah. That's cool. Machine Head. Wow. Yeah. Tyler?
I'd have to say Thrice.
Yeah?
Because every album bangs. And every album is a little different than the last.
It's fair.
So they're constantly changing. They're constantly evolving. And every new thing they do it really fucking well.
And it's so versatile.
Yeah.
So damn versatile.
Yeah.
That whole discography.
Yep, yep.
I think...
Go ahead.
I'll give you a second. I think mine, it's tough to pick just one because of all the different shit I like. And I talked a little bit about it before the show, like Metallica. You know, I know a lot of their albums in the 90s, Load, Reload, Garage, whatever it is, they get a lot of hate. But, man, when I was a kid, like, my dad jammed that shit. So, like, I grew up on that stuff, and I loved those albums. And, you know, they've got 13, 14 records that I could listen to every single one and still rip them today.
Yep.
So it's hard for me to not say Metallica. It's hard for me to not say Alice in Chains. Because I mean, even Chains' new stuff, I really like. Mm-hmm. It's not Layne Staley, but it's still really good music because they still have Jerry.
Cantrell.
Yeah, they still have Jerry, and Jerry was just as big of a part of
and that
the songs
newest
frontman,
which I know it's been however many years now. He does
a
hell of a fucking job.
He does
job.
A really good job.
Hell of a job.
So. And then another one for me is Polaris. I mean, we say minimum three albums. I have three albums, Dichotomy, Mortal Coil, and The Death of Me. And they've got killer EPs. And matter of fact, their EP, I can't think of what
with
it's called.
No Rest.
The Purple Hand. And yeah, I can't think of what it's called. So they have no bad songs, no bad records, no bad EPs. I mean, every song jams and... It's hard for me to pick between the three, but if I had to absolutely just pick one, I would probably pick Alice in Chains.
Ooh,
okay.
It's real. I would say Chains, Polaris, Metallica.
Yeah.
Just because, like, the Jar of Flies album.
That's a good album.
And that's why it was one of my five albums I would have to have for the rest of my life because it's just. So deep and some of the best songs, just songs lyrically ever written. So yeah, I'd probably
say one Dirt.
Dirt, that's a hell of an
Dirt's
album.
A great album. Yep. That's man, I love Facelift though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facelift is killer. Preston, what you got?
So I know I said minimum three albums.
Are you changing your own rules?
No.
You can't change your rules.
I'm not changing
your own rules,
I'm not
bro.
Changing the rules.
That's not rock, dude.
I would say it would probably be Polaris, but if it wasn't Polaris, and I'm delving through
See,
my
artist.
See, I
picked Chains to be different because everybody expects me to say Polaris.
No, I get it. And as I'm scrolling through this, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss any artists, but if there was one band's discography that I had to...
If you say Periphery, I'm punching you.
No, it's not. Okay. That I had to, like...
It's not rock either. Bro.
Comparing to others, if there's one that I would listen to through more, it would probably be Killswitch.
Oh.
They have album after album.
Bro, that's the thing about Killswitch.
After album,
I was listening to them last night, actually.
So, like, if you think about, like, Killswitch versus, like, All That Remains or Bullet, which I love both of them. Killswitch never, like, changed their sound,
exactly.
changed their style, tried to do something different like Bullet and All That Remains did.
Yep.
And they switched vocalists twice because it was Jesse, Howard, Jesse, right? Yeah.
And then Jesse Howard on one song, which was phenomenal.
The Signal Fire.
The Signal Fire. Oh, my God, bro. When that shit dropped.
Yeah.
Wow. But So Killswitch has just always stayed what they are, man. They're an OG metalcore band that just stayed in that lane and writes great music over and over. So that's a great one.
It's there's a couple that are like there for me, but then they have those one or two albums that were just like, ugh. Like in All That Remains, there were a couple albums that are just
not great.
Yeah, and then you stop listening to them because of it.
Yeah.
Which maybe is a fault of my own.
Kind of cookie cutter, repetitive to me.
Radio core.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they just went
in a different. They went radio friendly.
There are certain bands that went in a different direction, which I don't mind when bands do that, but I don't have to like the different direction they go in either. You know?
Well, let's think realistically what's put in front of them when they're being told to do that difference. Yeah, they got humongous fat promised paychecks thrown at them. So
Yep.
Yeah, they're going
to
change their
stuff. No, we've talked about it on the show before. You've got quotas to meet.
Yep.
And if the old stuff ain't cutting it anymore, you got to do something to appeal to the masses. Well, and that's unfortunate.
Five finger death punch.
Well, they were doing that shit from day one. God, pretty close.
Yep.
I don't hate them as much as I hate Ice Nine Kills, but I hate them.
But like another band was for me was that was in contention was Chevelle, but then Chevelle has those one or two albums that was like
They're hit or miss for me. They're hit or miss for me. They've got some incredible albums, and then they've got some that I could go just without ever listening to again. Yeah. Breaking Benjamin's one that's never had a bad album.
That was another one that ever. Was like I could probably
For me, I don't think Breaking Benjamin's ever had a bad record.
Yeah.
We've talked about them plenty on here before, but yeah, it's tough to narrow down to one band. You're like, man, if I really wanted to dive into this discography, I got to just pick one. So
I'm a music whore, man. Like, you can't find one thing narrowed down on my YouTube channel list because it's just for days.
Yeah, man.
Different things.
Dude, like, same. Because I mean, I listen to so much different shit.
Yeah.
It's hard to. Which is good, right? Being diverse in it, in your music taste, but makes it hard when you're having these discussions, and that's why we do them. Yeah. So I'm really going to fuck with you on this next uh-oh. Segment because uh-oh. I'm literally making you pick one. So
Scotty, do the drum roll.
We talked about last episode that we were going to do a new segment called This or That, where we're going to name off a couple topics here. And see what everybody would pick between this or that. So we'll do the first one. This or that, clean or unclean vocals. So screams or singing. You only get one. Yeah.
Because I like them both.
Yeah, same. I don't know my answer yet, so I'm
like. You need to hear some reasoning.
Yeah,
first.
I need to hear some reasoning.
Honestly, it's like not wanting to be the first one up your butt.
Yeah.
Everybody give me the line.
Yeah.
Give me the line.
What about aggressive clean? No, I'm going to pick clean.
Yeah.
Because the music itself could always make it more powerful.
Yep.
And back it up.
Yep. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that.
Tyler?
Oh, singing. 100% clean vocals. You have such a wider range of possibilities with that versus screaming. Even though you can do more of like the yelling scream like Sean and I started off with, or like
aggressive
gutturals, pig squeals.
Chris from Moz dropped one on Predestination Paradox.
Yes, he did.
But you know, all these different ways that you can scream, there is a lot more versatility and options out there than people seem to think.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do so much more with clean vocals. Yep. And I like having options.
Preston?
It's tough because there's something about screaming in music that just does it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a demon
scream. That's a demon screaming, baby. I would go with clean vocals. And I think reason being there are bands like, I recently have been listening to Spirit Box a little bit. Mm. That last album got kind of old to me somewhat quick.
Yeah.
But there are some songs on there where she doesn't scream at all, but the music is heavy enough in the background that it's like, I don't need you to scream.
It carried it.
Yeah, it carried it. And another band that we've briefly mentioned is Carnival. They, from what I remember, just Carnival doesn't scream any, but they have some heavy off-time parts in this space in their music where it's like, I would appreciate some screams to be added, but I don't have to have it. So because of the versatility of cleaner vocals, I think that would be, yeah, that's my choice.
Yeah, I also would choose cleans. I was hoping one of you would pick unclean just to be different. You know, some of my favorite.
We thought it was hard. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess
so
not.
Some
You're
of my
cheap.
Some of my favorite bands are Motionless and White, Bad Omens, Boys of Fall. A lot of these bands that just have absolutely gorgeous clean vocals.
Yeah.
And all those bands that I just mentioned have killer uncleans too. But what stands out the most is how pretty their singing voices are. And I think Tyler made a great point of you can do so much more inflection of emotion with cleans than you can with screams. Screams, it's either pain or anger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not, you can't do joy, sadness, all this stuff with that. You can do every emotion possible through just singing. So I would pick cleans as well.
Right.
I really thought that was going to be more difficult.
I did too. Because I was like debating
it.
It
was not difficult for me.
Now, Hatebreed. Yes. Hatebreed. I'd like to go, like, take back to that one question, the discography thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that dude's been through some shit, but he's turned all of his pain and hatred into, like, positive, uplifting songs. Like, every single one of his songs is, like, hype.
Yeah.
Get yourself hype, headstrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love that.
Yeah.
My cousin Dustin loves Hatebreed. Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned them. He also was a big Under Oath fan, even like Meshuggah.
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah.
Meshuggah started Periphery.
Yeah. So.
That shit's beyond me.
Okay. Next one. This or that. Solos or breakdowns? Scotty,
It's a
breakdown. That was it. We should have asked the drummer that question, but. We'll see what the lead guitarist has to say when we get to him.
I love solos, though, too. I mean,
it just
depends on. It's got to fit the right moment of the song. And it's got to be the right song to have the solo in. But, yeah, that's
breakdown.
That's obvious. I love slamming heavy-ass breakdowns.
So,
everything's so complex with him. He can't just say breakdown.
it's really hard to choose, but I'm gonna have to say breakdown. And it's, I mean, a solo's cool and all, but I've always been more into the rhythm side of things, not so much the whittily diddlies and the wah wah. Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
Definitely cool.
But I prefer the rhythms.
Very talented to be able to even do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I
can't fucking do that shit.
I think awesome. You could do a lot more with rhythms than you can with a solo, and that's what a breakdown is. It's just kind of a solo for the rhythm of the song.
Yeah.
And that's where... Honestly, instruments like the drums and, you know, the bass tend to shine a little bit. You can do really complex stuff with your guitars, you know, different chords, different layers, things like that. But a solo is just this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got everybody in the background doing something real basic to make sure they're not pulling attention from the soloist. You know, and that could be the guitarist or the drummer or the bass player or the vocalist doing some kind of solo, but it's just one person shining while everyone else is doing something mediocre.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, lead guitarist.
Yeah.
I'm so torn.
torn
like Scotty.
I'm
not Scotty beside me, Scotty Stapp. So we talk about heavy as a feeling. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I think this is where I'm so, like, stuck in the middle is because there are some solos that I will hear and can revert back to that give me that feeling. And it's typically a very melodic solo rather than something very shreddy or, I guess, whittily-diddly. Because I'm not crazy on super whittily-diddly shit either. But then there's... you know, certain breakdowns feel like this giant release of certain emotions. And I feel like you can say the same for a breakdown or a solo. But I think I would have to go with breakdown just because it does feel like it's all the band doing something together. There are certain situations where solos, yes, you are the one that sticks out, but there's a certain togetherness about a breakdown that when it's done right, there's nothing like it. So yeah, I'd go breakdown.
I'm not quite as torn, but I will say that your explanation of I feel the same way, where I don't care so much for the, however you called it, widdly diddly solo.
Yeah, we've never really.
They just don't do much for me. But
it feels like hair metal.
If I hear Zakk Wylde on No More Tears.
Yeah.
Anything that Stevie Ray Vaughan does, any kind of, I mean,
super
when
feely.
You're making that guitar cry, like that is the solo that I'm drawn to. Gary Moore. Yep.
Novelist guitarist.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, if you're just
tremendously beautiful and talented.
Yeah, just if the you're solo, making me feel what your guitar is playing, then that's something I appreciate. But a breakdown is just this, I think you put it perfectly, this release of energy and cohesiveness. And what do people get nuts for at a live show? Not a solo, a breakdown. That's when the wall of death slams and the pit's going nuts and people are headbanging. Right. It's just the epitome. And modern metal music has gotten away from solos in favor of breakdowns. And I think that's why I feel like a breakdown is more my style. So I hope that was a good explanation.
Yeah.
So maybe we thought there were going to be differing opinions, but we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all kind of similar in that sense. But
yeah.
Does anybody else have any this or that topics
I feel there's a time and a place for solos like that. There's a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's the right song that fits it, then definitely throw your willy dillies in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, shine. Because, like, for us, it's difficult because you are a lead guitar player for us. Mm-hmm. So you are adding all those extra different notes in the background.
A lot of his leads are underlying shit.
Yeah,
right?
It's more layers. It's all about layers.
It's just adding depth to a song instead of just highlighting a bunch of noodling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So.
Absolutely.
I think that's what makes a good song, is being complex and deep and different shit like that. Those were my two this or that. Does anybody have anything else?
I'm trying to think of a good one. I have, like, quite a few in my head, but I don't know that any of them will be that good.
Spit one out and we'll tell you if it's good or not.
No.
No?
You just give me some time. Give me some time. You got a this or that, buddy.
If you can't tell, our shows are not scripted. they're very minute scripting.
Yeah. Minute.
Make us think.
Make you think.
Bitch.
Damn. Shots fired.
He's going to piss him off to where he gives me the hardest this or that ever.
Okay. I'm thinking of something. I just got to find a way to frame it up here.
Well, while you frame that up,
you got another one?
No, I just want to take a second to thank everybody for continuing to listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I said earlier, if you have subscribed to our Backstage Pass on Patreon and you're getting to binge this whole season, thank you so much. We just want to continue to bring you guys the best music debate and content out there. So. Thank you guys again so much for listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you for continuing to give us your time and be a part of the Screaming Idiots family. Tyler, go ahead.
So this is going to go differently for different people here. So I'll explain.
Okay.
I think I know how Scotty's going to respond, but. If you had to choose between, like, this is what you have to play in forever, is it going to be a heavy distorted sound with some kind of range there you can play with, or is it going to be something more clean, maybe add a little oomph onto it, a little mid-gain kind of stuff. So if you had to pick the range of heavy versus like low gain or clean for the rest of your life, what are you choosing?
Who do you want to go first?
You son of a bitch.
But for Scotty, it's would you rather play to one or the other?
Yeah.
Guest goes first.
Oh, appreciate that, man. I love you.
Because you have like, I know you talk a little shit about some of the prettier stuff that we play, but I've also seen you enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't mean to like talk shit about it. I just get bored with it. Too much of it.
We know what your answer is then.
But I definitely am a softy for it because I love that slow groove of clean.
Mm-hmm.
Just I think it's challenged you a lot.
It's super challenging. And I do like that aspect of it too, but.
Deep sigh.
It's got to be the distortion because there's nothing like that crunch to me in my head. Just I can't never let that go. That's just a metalhead in me. I can't do it.
I guessed right. Love
for
you.
For sure.
but Preston, I'm going to make you marinate on it for a second because I'm going to make it harder for you Kyler and I talk about this.
Okay.
All the game. I want all the distortion.
Give him 12 noise gates.
I want all of the. I just never thrived in that clean space as a guitar player. I'm getting better. I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I still want to.
Did you say listen to or play?
I said play.
Okay.
I still will always revert back to that, and God forbid if I'm ever in here with Scotty, like I'm not gonna just start ripping some clean pretty shit. We're gonna play something off of Shadows Are Security by As I Lay Dying and like rip like. So for me, it's definitely more aggressive. All the gain, all the distortion. Feed me violence.
Yeah.
Hmm. Did you not expect me to say that?
I didn't expect it to be such a quick and easy answer. Because you do enjoy listening to like things like Alice in Chains, mm-hmm. where they're not heavy mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. You enjoy,
love it.
You know,
heavy as a feeling.
Kind of dad rock.
Yes, love dad
that
rock.
That isn't, you know, super heavy mm-hmm. tones and shit.
That was a damn.
You
good
said
one,
play,
that was a
not
one.
Listen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you play like Torn.
I do.
You'll never be able to play that again, and it sound very good.
Yeah. What if I put a shit ton of like resonance on it and made it like kind of background, like sound like it's in a box?
Throw some reverb on it.
Put a shit ton of reverb on it.
I think it would sound horrible.
A little bit of
metal tone.
A little bit of delay. What if I played it on the neck pickup though?
You could maybe do something where like
roll
you
roll the volume knob down, play on the
just
rhythm
a little
pickup,
bit,
or on the neck pickup.
Hey, you never it know a little bit, it. Yeah. You know,
never know.
Finger
try.
Pick it, bro.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What if I finger picked it with a shit ton of reverb, neck pickup,
not
volume
that
knob
much
roll
gain,
back?
Though.
No. Yeah. No.
All the gain.
Volume knob rolled back.
We might have to try this, folks.
I think we might. Yeah,
we're just about to have band practice. Make it
I was gonna say we might have to try that. Huh. Stay right. tuned for next week, Preston.
Were you adding to it any?
Or is no, I just know that you know, since you and I have hung out, you've gotten into a lot of this like alternative stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you love listening to it, and you love like creating these.
Yep.
Really melodic ambient parts in yep. some of the music that we're creating nowadays.
It's so tough.
So yeah,
I enjoy both sides of it, but I don't want to say it's an easy decision, but it's somewhat of a quicker decision because of my original influence as a kid. And it was all the gain.
All the gain.
It was, man. It was like, what the fuck is this? This is what I want to do. This is what I want to play. And it's, of course, it's evolved over time. And even before that, there were things that I was into. I mean, I've mentioned on the show that R&B music was a giant influence for me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know why or how, because it's talking about love and screwing all the time, but I always love
That's fake love.
I always loved the feel of R&B music. Yeah. But I would still have to say, yeah, the heavier stuff.
All the gain, man.
We know what your answer is.
Yeah, it's definitely the Queens and, yeah. And
you know, I told you I always fucking saw.
And honestly, I bet as a guitarist.
Mumford and Sons.
Hey, I love Mumford.
Well, here's the thing. If I go with the distortion shit, you know, the heavy, all the gain.
You feel limited?
I got no more acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ain't playing the acoustic again.
And to do those singled out picking notes is way different clean than what it is distortion wise, because you can do a lot more like beautiful things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have totally such a range with clean and low gain, and I can write stuff where it's, you know, switching between the clean and the low gains, and just the positioning of it and the way you can write a song, that low gain can feel real heavy.
Yeah.
So I can still get down with the get down. I just don't have to do it with all the gain all the time.
Right, right.
But all the gain, though.
Really.
But, like, I don't need it. But like, I can make it sound heavy without it.
But, like, all the game, man.
All the game. Yeah.
I gotta give me the game. I gotta have the game.
Please,
like,
sir.
Like can Slipknot. I? Like, I'm like fucking Mick Thompson from Slipknot, bro. All the fucking game.
Yep.
So, well, Scotty, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, man, I was coming here for band practice, but thank you for having me on.
We forced you. You didn't have an option, just so the listeners know. There was no,
fuck yeah.
There was no option. It was, hey.
No.
You're coming on the show tonight.
So I'll see you in 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
gonna he's have got some, set up his gigantic fucking drum set. Anyway.
gonna have some band practice after this and jam and have a good time. So thanks again to Scotty for coming on, and thanks to all of our listeners for hanging out with us and giving us your time. And we will see you guys next week. Until then, we are the Screaming Idiots.
Peace, love, dove.